South Africa, the host of the Durban Conference, has its own racist history. And as NPR's Kenneth Walker reports now from Johannesburg, racism continues to thrive in South Africa 7 years after the end of the apartheid government.
37-year-old Owen Kruger was involved in a fender bender in Johannesburg last month with a black motorist. Following an argument, Kruger pulled out a 9mm pistol and shot the motorcyclist dead. But before he pulled the trigger, Kruger called the police and told them what he was going to do to what he called the Kaffir, a highly derogatory term whites use for Africans. Kruger was arrested by the police he summoned. The next day, he was released on bail equivalent to $600. Both the crime and Kruger's release prompted outrage in South Africa, with many asking how such incidents continue to be almost routine 7 years after the democratically elected black-led government took charge. Panseit Lakula is a member of the South African Human Rights Commission.
I mean, one would have thought that if at the top you have black people who are in charge, they would act decisively where incidents of racism are found to exist.
Analysts say another problem is that while blacks now head the institutions of government, many of the people who man the agencies, especially in the criminal justice system, are whites who just a few years ago enthusiastically backed apartheid. South Africa does not keep statistics on racial assaults as such, but the media here regularly report incidents, and not all the racial violence is directed against blacks. Wanda Stoffberg is an Afrikaner woman in the conservative Northern Cape village of George. Stoffberg operates a butcher shop on her farm in an elite white neighborhood. She employs 20 blacks, and her shop attracted many clients from nearby black townships. Her white neighbors objected to the black clientele and tried to force her to close the shop. When she refused, Stoffberg was attacked, beaten, and sexually assaulted by masked white men. The men then took a knife and carved a K for Kaffir into her left breast. The experience, she says, was a revelation.
It has opened my eyes to so many things that happened for years and years to black people in South Africa. You never look at it when you sit on this side. And I have ignored their pain for a long time.
The South African government is attempting to fight racial discrimination in various sectors. It's passed an affirmative action law that requires companies to increase the number of black employees. The law is intended to mitigate white domination of every sector of the South African economy. These employees at one of the largest banks in South Africa have been ordered to participate in diversity training. This group of white, African, and mixed race employees is encouraged to vocalize their perceptions, beliefs, and stereotypes about one another. The results are revealing.
They're lazy.
Racist.
And they come from way back when, spear chuckers.
During the years of struggle, we used to call them dogs, isn't it?
Lance Block, a white South African, is a clinical psychologist who runs the workshops.
If we don't deal with the festering racism and perceptions underground, then eventually they're going to break out. I think a lot of white people are extremely negative about government. A large percentage of white males are still suffering from the past.
Human Rights Commissioner Panseit Lakula is not optimistic that the problems will be solved anytime soon.
Maybe in the lifetime of my children as adults. I'm not sure that I'm 45 years old now. I'm not sure whether in the next 15 years we will have dealt with these problems. There will certainly be an improvement, but it's going to take much longer.
One of the reasons for the pessimism is that despite all the laws on the books in South Africa, many have no enforcement mechanisms, and the government has not yet funded many of the institutions designed to monitor racial discrimination. Until that happens, many feel that racism and the anger it generates will continue to flourish here. Kenneth Walker, NPR News, Johannesburg.